Hello and welcome to Keeping the Ball on the Ground, the Open Goal podcast in association with our friends at William Hill. We've pulled it off again, Si, you know.
We're on fire, aren't we?
You can't believe who's sitting on your right shoulder here, can you? Nah. You can't believe it.
You had to introduce, I didn't know who he was.
He's expecting Charlie Miller. Charlie's lost some weight. Well, we're delighted to say, one of the old media pals, no, it's no Hugh Keevans, it's no Hugh McDonald, it's no Derek Johnson, it's no Chick Young, it's better than that. We've lifted at a level.
Ron Atkinson.
We've actually managed to persuade Terry Venables to fly in from Spain. He's just hanging about waiting for the Dundee writer job to come about. No, we've got the top man, the chief football writer from the Sunday Mail, Scott McDermott, man who's been all around the world covering football for the Sunday Mail for the past 15 years. And Si, if you're not aware, Scott, an old colleague of mine, good player these days, still getting no bad touch, knows a wee bit about the game.
I'm one of the Scotland tips. I think you maybe joined in or something once.
Maybe.
I hope we'll see what you're talking
I'm glad you said that. But just in case any listeners out there aren't sure who I'm talking about, I'll repeat it. It's Scott McDermott from the Sunday Mail, the top
Scott,
man.
Charlie,
actually, he'll get his one back. He'll be fine. Don't worry about it. Scotty's delighted. And follow Scotty on Twitter as well. Scotty, what's your address on Twitter?
Scott McDermott, 8.
That was his number
that was my old number.
That was numbers, but that wasn't the amount of pies that they had at halftime. Right, anyway, we've got a great show on for you today. 45, 50 minutes as usual. We're going to be speaking about Stephen Gerrard's comments. Despite Rangers beating Dundee 4-0 at the weekend, Gerrard wasn't happy with his team's performance. We'll also move into the St Mirren Celtic game and the tactics of St Mirren's new gaffer, Oran Kearney, and bringing a magician to relax the players and put a smile on their face. And we'll also look ahead to the end of the week when Celtic and Rangers kick off their Europa League group stages. Rangers away to Villarreal in Spain and Celtic at home to the Norwegian side Rosenborg. And then we will speak up and coming talent in the Scotland under 21 team. Terrific double header for them last week, 3-0 against Andorra, and a brilliant 2-1 win away to Holland. And Scotty was over there covering Scott Gemmell's team, so he'll be able to give us a right good insight into the rising talent in the under 21 side, such as Billy Gilmore and Fraser Hornby and the rest. So keep with us, I know you're going to enjoy it, and we're going to kick off with the Rangers Dundee game. Scotty, you were there. Rangers won 4-0, convincing. Yep. Result for them. Not so good a day for Kenny Miller, getting sent off back at Ibrox, but we'll touch on that later. But when Stephen Gerrard came in and gave his post-match interview, were you taken aback that he was critical of the team?
I was, that's what I was going to say. I was stunned when I went into the press room afterwards, because, well, you see that many of these results, you know, team, especially the Old Firm, win 3 or 4-0 at home, and you expect a manager just to come in, you know, wax lyrical about the team, talk about all the good points. But, I mean, literally first question, Stephen Gerrard was asked, no, did you get the performance you were looking for today? And he just said, no. He says, I don't think the performance was there at all. And I think everybody in that room was taken aback. And then, he went on to explain why. No, did I agree with him? Probably no. Listen, he knows far more about football than me. But to me, it was 4-0, going on 6 or 7. Dundee were lucky in the second half not to concede even more goals. But on reflection, I just think you look, and that's, it has to be a bit of psychology for Gerrard with the players.
That's what I was going to ask. Do you think he genuinely believes that, or do you think he was actually happy, he just wants to keep them on their toes?
I think he's definitely just want to keep them on their toes. I mean, it's all kind of Sir Alex Ferguson tactic. Mm. When you win a game, the players probably think, right, that's us back. No, last game, lost the Old Firm game, get a bit of criticism. Probably think, right, we're back after the break, feeling refreshed, put in a good performance, and then he just puts them right back in their place again. I think that's the standard that he's trying to create at Rangers. Do you know what I mean? That's what they've lacked for the last few years. So I definitely think it was a ploy for him just to keep the players on their toes.
But as a newspaper man, when a manager comes away with a line like that at the end of the game, you're sitting rubbing your hands as well.
It was great because you're thinking, like, you know as well as I do, 4-0. You're kind of struggling for a line after it because you're just thinking it's just going to be, oh, we were great, we were brilliant. But to actually come in, and Gerrard's been brilliant for lines, to be fair. He's never let us down yet. So when he comes in after a 4-0, and basically says they were rubbish. It was great. That's your back page sorted.
Depend, get the takeaway up the road in time for match of the day, the back page in the bag. Si, have you been in that scenario during your career where you've had a good win in terms of being on the pack? I think we've actually played quite well today, and you come in and you're taken aback by what the manager says to you.
De Canio done it all the time, honestly. Every game we won, he would slaughter us, eh? He'd come in after the game and say, listen, lads, okay, you done well, you win 4-0, but remember, you're still League One players, very rubbish, very rubbish. And I'm going to tell everyone this. He says, but I'm a rubbish manager as well, because I'm only League One as well. He says, to play for me, you have to have bollocks. I'm going to slaughter you in the paper, you have to accept it and take it. But it was just to keep you on your toes, and I think Rangers have needed a manager like this for years. Because you look back at Kashinia and even Warburton, they'd have been saying some stupid things after a 4-0 win at home, saying, we're going to win the league, we're going to catch it, all that stuff.
They would be praising the team when they played badly.
Exactly. No, I mean,
it's totally different.
And I think it's a manager that Rangers have needed for a while. I think he's great with the press, Gerrard. Even watched him a couple of days before. He only speaks about what he wants to speak about. If there's a question put to him that he's not happy about, you'll pie it off. And you can tell that he's a proper man, Gerrard, eh? And I think it's a manager that they've needed for years.
That's the thing about Gerrard, though. We were talking about this all day. Though you're interviewing him, you're trying to come up with different questions, you're trying to get a wee line at him. But see, after it, you go at and think to yourself, this guy must have done thousands of press conferences in his career. I mean, he literally, there's no question.
You see it all coming.
There's no question. You're talking World Cups, Champions League finals, captain of Liverpool, captain. The amount of press conferences and questions he must have answered out of the world, there's nothing that's going to take him by surprise.
He's got you boys on toast, isn't he?
Honestly, he's not going to be bought by any kind of questions.
So. But I like when I listen to him, Scotty, or I read him in the papers, it's the point that Simon makes here in terms of what he says. I love the fact that he uses his media conferences wisely. He uses them to his benefit. He doesn't go in and go through the motions.
No.
You know, the old cliches. You actually get in, and when you actually listen and analyse what he says, like Saturday night, he's constantly challenging his players.
Yeah.
You know, he's picking things out. Yeah, we were good, but we need to score more goals. We're good, or we should have kept a clean sheet, even though we won 3-1. And I love the way that he thinks, right, I'm not just going here to tick this box. I'm actually going to use this time wisely so the supporters know what I'm about, and more importantly, the players and public know what I'm about. And it's clever, and that's what you should be doing. Yeah. Managers should use media, as much as a lot of them don't like doing them, you can understand why, but you've got to use it to your advantage.
I thought as an ex-player, that is what you would struggle with, because I think players struggle with the media, you know. But he's been brilliant, man. Even the other day when they were asking about referees, I mean, when he wants to speak about referees, he'll go on for ages.
Yeah.
But when he doesn't, he bats it off straight away. He says, no, I'm not here to speak about referees.
He did it when it suited him away to Aberdeen, obviously, when they lose Morelos, early doors, first day of the season. No, it suited him that day to have a wee dig at the refs, but you're right, then he turns it around when everybody else is talking about refs. He's now the good guy saying, I don't want to talk about them. So the other thing I love about Gerrard, or interviewing Gerrard, and this is just purely for a media point of view, is because of what he's done in the game and where he's been, it's really any subject or any kind of topical thing that's happening, you can bet your bottom dollar he's either played there, played against them. No, it was like the other day we were looking at the Villarreal game. We're asking him about the Villarreal game. So he mentioned Santi Cazorla playing with Villarreal, and he's like, so some great battles with him. Aye. No, Liverpool, Arsenal. Yeah. He was able to tell you everything you needed to know about Cazorla. It was brilliant. Whereas any other manager like a Warburton or a Kashinia can't really talk with that kind of authority. Do you know what I mean? So
ask him about Peterhead, he'll never fucking clue.
He's not played there.
Yeah, just to touch back on what you said about De Canio, and I suppose this could apply to all dressing rooms and all managers, you said that he would constantly slaughter you, even regardless of the result. But can that have the opposite effect as well? He's just slaughtered us again, rather than just kind of picking and choosing when he slaughtered you, kind of switch off for the slaughterings?
Because when he praised you, you felt like a million dollars, you know what I mean? Because you were that used to getting slaughtered that when he actually did praise you, you would think, and you were desperate to please him. Because of the name he is, because of the way he was, and I could imagine that the Rangers players will be exactly the same with Gerrard. You're desperate for him, like these players, you know. People say to me that ex-players doesn't mean anything to be a manager, but it does. Mm-hmm. When you're playing for a De Canio or a Steven Gerrard, you're desperate to impress him, of course you are. Mm-hmm. You know the career they've had, the kind of guys that are, they're standing in the game. and you will do anything for them to like you, honestly. And I think Gerrard's got the players in the palm of their hand, and I think that's the first time in years that a Rangers manager's had that.
Right, so let's just flip it over then and go across the city to Celtic, because you've got a man there, Brendan Rodgers, back-to-back trebles, invincible season in his first campaign. Good CV, he's a manager, learning his trade under Mourinho, nearly won the title with Liverpool. We all know the backstory. But playing career, no.
None.
You know, he's not a Gerrard or a Di Canio, but Scotty, you can still see, and you've dealt with Brendan Rodgers for 2 years, week in, week out, that he has got that charisma, and you can clearly tell that players want to play for him too.
With Rodgers, it's all about personality, and no doubt being a brilliant coach at training. I mean, Si's right, we are talking about guys you want to play for. Rodgers didn't play at any great level, but no, you can bet your bottom dollar the players would run through a brick wall for him. It's his motivational tactics. No, I know he gets slaughtered for that documentary he did a few years ago, remember it?
At Liverpool.
But I thought even in that, there was wee bits like team talks and all that, where you thought, tell you what, you'd love to play for. You'd love to play for that guy. And no, he must be a brilliant coach. And as I say, with him, it's about character, personality. You would just want to play with him in a similar way to Gerrard, but for different reasons.
So give us a, you know, because look, again, I think Brendan Rodgers uses his media conferences brilliantly as well. He's always wanting to get his message out there, and you can see the amount of lines that he gives the newspapers and the headlines and the amount of other subjects that he can dip into too, that you were talking about Gerrard as well. In terms of when you're dealing with them behind closed doors, Scotty, and I know the setup, are they similar or are they different the way they handle the
Rodgers and Gerrard?
Yeah.
Very similar. And the reason for that is that, unlike a lot of managers, you can ask them absolutely anything. No subject is out of bounds. I mean, there are managers, Scottish managers, that haven't achieved half of what Gerrard and Rodgers have, but I've found myself sitting there worried about asking a question in case he's got
a backlash.
In case he's got a bite.
Really?
See, when you think of guys like Craig Levein, Yogi Hughes even, you would be sitting worried about asking something. See, with Gerrard and Rodgers, despite the big personalities that are, big reputations, you're not worried about asking them anything. As I say, nothing is out of bounds. Despite how kind of awkward it might be. Now, listen, I know they've not had to deal with that many awkward questions so far, because Rodgers has just been so successful and Gerrard's just in the door. But honestly, the way they make you feel, and Rodgers, I think, is a master at it, he just makes you feel so comfortable.
Knows all the boys' names and stuff, eh?
Oh, definitely. Check
everybody and does his homework, doesn't he?
Unbelievable. But that's clever. I mean, I remember last year, I did a piece for the paper with Anton Rogan.
Uh-huh.
But usual, you'll know this, I did it for the Sunday Mail, and a couple of days before the Sunday, it was previewing the Scottish Cup final, something like a game against Aberdeen. I was talking to Anton Rogan about a famous penalty shootout here. And a couple of days before it was due to come out the Sundays, somebody from one of the daily papers did it, Daily Record or Daily Mail, whatever. So I was gutted, but the Record or the Sunday Mail just put it online anyway. Just so people on Twitter and that could see it. And then we were at the football writers' dinner in the May, and I'm in the toilet at the hotel and come out, and Brendan Rodgers is here. I was like, oh, how you doing?
Brendan stalked me, was he?
Aye. First thing he says to me was, he says, by the way, love that Anton Rogan piece. I'm like,
did he,
how do you even, wasn't in a paper?
Yeah.
But honestly, he reads everything. I think knows everybody's name.
Anton Rogan was in his Celtic Dream Team.
Aye, I think he was.
I speak to Frank McAvery on Saturday night. We were at John Hartson's foundation the other, and Frank says, I'm going to go up and have a word with Brendan. I can't believe he's got Rogie in his Celtic Dream Team. But you're spot about, he's also been very successful. Couple of results in Europe that obviously didn't go to plan in the past couple of years. But has he ever been prickly, or can you tell sometimes you can find he's not in the mood today, we'll stand off a wee bit?
Only once or twice, and I don't think I've been there either of those days, but I've heard a couple of the boys saying there's maybe been something going on behind the scenes. There was one in particular, which is very unlike him, when he walked into one of the rooms at Lennox Town, just one of the wee dressing rooms, and he always comes in and sits down, and he's there for 15-20 minutes blaring away. This day, apparently, he just came in, stood up, didn't sit down, just said, right, off he's go. And the boys were stunned. And it was literally five or six questions, and then he was out the door.
See, when you were saying about the backlash for other managers, have you ever had somebody go mad at you for a question?
Good question. I mean, I must have had no MD going mad, but you just knew he was. I mean, Walter Smith was great for that, just giving you the stare. Talking about being worried about that, I mean, Walter's probably up there, sitting there absolutely no bottom, you know what I mean? And then, as I say, he just had to look at you. He didn't even answer you. So many times he would just look at you, but just be like silence. Silence in the room, the tumbleweed going across. You just move on to the next.
I can remember your pal, Tommy Burns, barred me for Celtic Park way back when Tommy was a man. He wasn't happy with a story I wrote about Paul Byrne years ago. I get the phone call at the house back in those days.
Oh, wow.
And Tommy says, if you ever do it like that again, he says, I'll get posters of you made up and I'll put them all around Celtic Park in the adjoining area. And I say, don't let this man within 300 yards of our football club. And I've been thrown out of Murray Park. Bally McCoys was the manager. But I remember back in the old days, Tommy McLean was a crack, and you see if you had something controversial and you went to talk, right, that's it, I'm not answering it, it just that it can be done. You don't like it, it can be done.
I never dealt with Tommy McLean, but I mean, I don't think I've ever seen Tommy McLean smile, even when you look back. So I remember, well, I wasn't a manager, but I remember one time just talking about Big Yogi, who's half his seat, as you know. I remember it was like Hibs St Johnson game, he was in charge at Hibs, and it was so stupid. I mean, you'll know, it's the player ratings you do, right? Mm-hmm. And Hibs had a nightmare that night, and Big Saul Bamba was at centre half.
Kyle drinks him, mate.
Oh, I know. Right. I think I gave Big Bamba like a three, right? I've slaughtered him. I've only got like eight words, right? But I've slaughtered him in these eight words. A couple of days later, I hadn't even thought about it. And I need to go to the training ground. Big Yogi's right out, and he's like, pick you. Three for Saul Bamba. So he starts shouting into the. He's like, oh, so.
Oh, no.
Right, I'm sitting there shaking, right? I'm like, Big Bamba's like a machine. Just worried he's going to come out and do me, right? But yeah, sure. And I'm saying, here's this guy who's giving you a three slot on your mat. Like,
oh. Did he say anything?
No, he didn't, no. But I mean, there's some fearsome guys that you're worried about. I remember Craig Levine having a go once as well for something. And you wouldn't mess with Craig Levine, even there. Yeah. And he's one of the guys, as you'll know, you get certain managers that will be annoyed with you or angry, but they'll just no speak to you, whereas Levine will phone you, or text you.
You'd rather have that.
Of course you would.
I've had fallouts with managers and players over the years with guys, and like there's some that actually you become pals with, but you actually have a relationship. You think that there's a bit of respect happens because you've cleared the air, they've dug you up rather than, and it works out fine. Before we go on to Kenny Miller's red card, just on Steven Gerrard then, Scotty, give us that wee insight. You've talked about Brendan, you know, once or twice you can just tell that he's not up for it and he's been annoyed about something. If things go against Rangers, maybe, you know, a couple of bad results or something like that, and there's maybe a bit of criticism come Rangers way or Steven Gerrard's way, how do you think Steven Gerrard will handle that situation?
It'll be interesting because he's not really had to deal with that yet. I mean, the results in Europe have been great. They've not got the points they wanted for the first few games of the season, but he's got away with that because they've qualified for Europa League, which nobody expected at all. So it'll be interesting to see how he reacts. Personally, I think he'll deal with it well. As I said before, he's seen everything before. I mean, you think of some of the abuse the England players must have got at World Cups and
2006 in Germany, particularly.
And he's the captain, he's the guy out there having to deal with questions and all that. So I don't think it'll faze him. I don't think it'll faze him one bit.
Oh, he'll not be bothered about facing up in the lights, so you'll be fine. I'll just take that. And he's straight right. You were there when the red card was pulled out. Now, forgive me, who was the referee again on Saturday?
Kevin Clancy.
Did you agree with it looking at in live play for Kenny Miller?
In live play, I thought it was a bit harsh, especially when he produced a straight red, because he'd already been booked, obviously, so you're thinking if he's going to... I mean, he probably deserved to get sent off because it was probably a second yellow, but when he produced the straight red, you're thinking, must have been a... No, or, sorry, during the game, I didn't think it was that bad, but you're thinking, for him to get a straight red, kind of harsh, but then you see it on TV, it was a pretty bad tackle, wasn't it? So it deserved at least a second yellow, I think. And I don't know why Neil McCann came in after the game and admitted he hadn't even seen it yet, but says we're going to appeal it.
What?
Aye, I mean, he basically said, I've not looked at it back, but I've spoke to Kenny. I mean, as if Kenny's going to say it different, you know what I mean? He says, I've spoken to Kenny, he says he got the ball, so we're going to appeal it. And he clearly didn't get the ball.
Well, no, I ask you to see if they won the appeal, Si, because you're still involved in the game, you need to keep yourself right with
I'm part of that panel, mate, nobody knows.
So, Scotty, do you think Dundee will win the appeal?
No, I'd be amazed. I mean, given some of the stuff that's already happened this season with appeals and that, I'd be flabbergasted if Kenny gets off it.
Right, your old club side, Dundee, yeah. You know, your hometown, your home city, yeah. As well. Do you think V&A, I saw your wee tweet about that, take your money, good
proud,
on you.
Proud.
Is
you in the VIP list now? Yeah. You in the VIP list, what?
Mate, never even got an invite. That's what I was saying. I've got Paddy McCourt talking about John Roberts and Dennis Shite, and I still can't get invited to the V&A.
Honestly, we Jim Spence got a VIP invite as well.
Fucking hell. It must have got us mixed up with our band, it's me and Spence.
Sam Duffy, everybody got a VIP. Me, Danny Stewart, Sean Hamilton, a lot of them, they got VIP invites. Right, Neil McCann is a... Do you think the Dundee board will be looking at this situation closely now? John Nelms and the board.
They've got to six, what is it, six games? Not got a point. And I seen the highlights and I agree with Scott, it looked like it could have been six or seven. And the one thing he's not addressed is the defence has been like that for probably about 3 years. And he keeps buying all these attacking midfielders and wingers and strikers, but the centre halves he's brought in have not been good enough. Is it Kalunga that set up? I think that's three assists he's had in the last three games for the other team. He's not addressed the goalkeeping situation properly for me. Scott Bain was the best player in the team when I was there.
Yeah.
And he's not replaced him. Go and get an older, experienced goalie for me.
I agree. So crucial that I think back to Ross County last season. And with all respect, you know, Ross County were throwing in goals. They tried two or three different goalies in.
Yeah.
You should never underestimate the importance of a goalie because he can help keep you up, can't he?
I even look at it and his boy Cammy Kerr, who's only 21, 22, and he's playing him left back. I mean, a young boy going into the team.
He was terrific up under the right hand side, wasn't it, Cammy Kerr?
Left at a back three.
If you're a young boy going into a struggling team, you want to play in your position. You want to be comfortable, feel comfortable. You're going in there playing at a left at a back three. I mean, he's what, 5'9" maybe, playing in the back three. And it just seems to me that, I mean, he's brought Darren back in, who's not played for 6 weeks. And the big man was turning like the 52 bus, you'll not mind me saying that. And it's quite right because he's not played for about 6 or 7 weeks. Yeah. And he's expected to go to Ibrox and put in a performance. So I really felt for him. And even in midfield, I don't think they've got a player who sits and tackles and dictates the game. So
missing Kamara, aren't they? The boy Glenn Kamara, he's decent.
What's
that? Was he injured? I don't know, he must be injured, aye.
But then again, Kenny Miller was captain on Saturday. That must be, the ninth captain of the season they've had. And it really worries me about Dundee, I think. It's only looking one way for me.
The thing is, talk about the defence. I mean, Si said he had a top keeper in Scott Bain. Rightly or wrongly, they have a fallout, and there's only one winner. There's only going to be one winner, so Scott Bain leaves. And then Stephen Colker, by all accounts, was their best centre back. And Neil McCann's had a fallout with him as well. Now, listen, I'm not saying Neil McCann's not wrong. Apparently,
I don't think Colker covered himself off the park.
I think the pre-season, in that pre-season trip, I think it was to Portugal, there was an instant, obviously Neil McCann's not happy with, and of course he's got to deal with that, kind of as a manager, and got to put his foot down, but ultimately, there's got to be a point where you say, I need to stop falling out with my best players, because you're right.
Well, your shite players, they're not your best.
Exactly. You need, as you say, he's missing a goalie and a centre-back, and as I say, I've let two good ones, good ones go, for things have nothing to do with football.
I hate asking questions such as, are managers under pressure? And I know that's what you've got to do, because I just think managers lose their jobs too quickly now, and players get away with all sorts, and the manager always carries a can. But do you think that Neil McCann is staring it in the face at the moment?
He's got to be. I mean, Si says 5 league games, no points. The one thing I'll say about him is he still tries to get him to play football.
That's what I like.
He still tries to play. And even on Saturday, despite what we're saying about getting hammered 4-0, and it could have been more. There was wee periods in the game where you thought, God, they've actually got something about them. They missed a great chance. at 2-0. And listen, I admire Neil McCann in terms of he took a big gamble leaving Sky, you know, as a pundit, not to take that gig. Mm. But he clearly wanted to be a manager, felt he could kind of go and prove himself. It's no working for him now. It'll be interesting to see how long he gets. When there's another international break coming up soon, he's got to pick up some points before the next break. I think they've got Hibs at home on Saturday. Mm-hmm. He's got to take something, even if it's just a point, just to try and get them going.
Okay, dokie. Well, we'll see how that all unfolds for Dundee in the next week or two for Neil McCann. Right, we're on the Open Goal podcast, keeping the ball on the ground in association with our friends at William Hill. I'm Mark Guidi, delighted to say joined by the Sunday Mail chief football writer, Scotty McDermott, and our very own Si Ferry. Okay, next up, stick with us. We've got a couple of cracking topics to come up. You're going to love some of the chat. Oren Kearney, the new St Mirren manager, right in the door, only 2 or 3 days to work with the players. He brings in a magician to try and lighten the atmosphere, entertain them, and, you know, hey presto, a 0-0 done. I like that one, Scott, yeah. I thought 3 days it took me. Hey presto, I'm trying to think of the old great Soprendo jokes on that. 0-0 draw with Celtic, that was a turn up for the book side, was it not?
It was, I thought it started really well, St Mirren. First half, created loads of chances, and it just baffled me a bit when Celtic went down to 10 men, why they went so defensive. Magician obviously went up the road at half time, but I thought they would have went for it. You know, if you go and beat Celtic in your first game, then the place is absolutely buzzing. Even if you get beat 1-0 and you give it a good go, you know, players get loads of confidence for that. I just thought the second half was really disappointing for St Mirren. Sat in their own half, 10 men behind the ball, playing against 10 men. I thought they were going to have a go, but you can see for St Mirren players how much more they were running about, doing the basics, running about, working hard. So he's obviously had an effect in the couple of days he's been in. And I like the way he speaks. He seems a bit a quirky guy. Mm-hmm. And as a player, I think players quite like guys like him. I think he'll do well at St Mirren.
In all seriousness, can there be genuine scenarios where a manager does have a magic wand? I mean, can it happen?
See, for me, when I think, because he's first in, it's maybe the boys have took it a laugh, but when stuff like that starts to happen further down the line, I think that's when the panic button starts to get pushed. We had it at Swindon when the manager brought in a psychologist and a captain walked out after 5 minutes. Mm-hmm. Jonathan Douglas, who played at Leeds, didn't suffer fools lightly, man. The guy spoke for about 5 minutes. Dougie stood up and said, listen, this is all a shite. This is not going to help us.
Was that Paul Hart? No.
No, it was Danny Wilson, who was Danny a great Wilson. Guy, yeah, but we just lost ideas. We were losing every clutching at straws, yeah. And then after that, it was before we travelled on away game. Mm-hmm. So Dougie'd got up and walked out, and we were all like, "Ah, for fuck's sake!" So we all walked off on the bus, and the chairman came on and gave us all letters with our names on them. I read them, so I'm reading mine, and he's writing loads of nice stuff in me. I'm like, "Oh yes, this is amazing!" And he gives Dougie his in his envelope. Jonathan Douglas didn't even open the envelope; just ripped it up in front of him. And after that,
in front of the chairman.
He's like, this is what we need to try and get better. He says, this isn't the stuff that helps you get better. It's being on the training pitch and working on things. He says, if this is what we need, then
some players
we're in big
just,
trouble.
Some
just,
players just
older players, mate. He's probably been there and seen it a million times. And really, I don't think it works, the stuff like that. I really don't.
You know, I mean, I've never having used one like that, but I could see the benefit having psychologists and a general, not for everybody, and I don't mean that statements just across the board, but individually one-on-one, I think that
was the problem. It was a group thing, do you know what I mean, where it was right doing who you didn't like and what you think about it, so it was a big group thing. But no, I agree, I think quite a lot of the boys are using the psychologist now individually. I think individually it's fine, but as a
absolutely,
group, I don't think it works.
Because everybody will have different needs.
Yeah, as an individual thing, I mean, guys know their own mind. You'll know if there's guys in the dressing room, know that you can just tell they need a wee pick me up here. They're not performing. Then I agree, you can use it, but as Si says, when you bring it into a group, there's a danger that you're humiliating yourself. Do you know what I mean? And players, they think this guy's finally lost it. Do you know what I mean? Talk about clutching at straws. If results only going well, of course a manager's going to try everything, but there's a line that you don't can across when eventually players just go, nah, this guy's done.
You know what I've heard a couple of times? Managers getting the boys in the changing room and playing the Al Pacino speech for any given Sunday.
Oh,
I've heard that a couple of times.
That's been done a few times. I've heard that back Back, aye.
That's almost a cliche.
Your toes would be busting at your trainers cringing for a minute.
any given Sunday. That was the name of it. Any given Sunday.
I've heard a few managers doing that. I mean, what would possess you to do that with?
Well, but it's worked for them now. You don't hear about the times it doesn't work, but you have heard the situations. I'm almost certain, going back, may have been the manager of Hibs at the time, but I'm sure I can recall Big Alec McLeish mentioned that he used it, or one of the players mentioned that he used it one of the things. Yeah. I think.
I wouldn't be having that as a player.
Nah.
The old Al Pacino speech.
You never know. I think I would never rule anything out, you know, if you want to try something different. You know?
I remember playing an amateur game played with Muirend Amateurs at the time. We had a game against, I think, Stirling University. And it was to stay up, right? That's how bad we were. Needed to win to stay up. And we played out at the Science Box. And can't even remember the manager's name, right? But big character, big fuck. Boys all loved him and all that, even though results weren't great. I just remember we're in the dressing room, he starts getting this big serious team talk, right? Like motivational team talk. We're all glued into him, right? And then just one by one, as he's talking, he just starts like taking his top off. Right. Takes your trousers off. A pair of sausages.
Was it Ronnie Dyler?
A pair of sausages. A brand of sausages. Right. The whole place is pissed herself off. Sure enough,
beat for
the boys all. No, we've got one. I've stayed up. So it was all down to the sausages.
No, wait.
What's the one that now we're running an open goal, Paddy McCourt? Did they tell that? The story of one of the managers at
half. Oh, no, you can tell when they take it. You'll tell it when he comes on again, but that's one of the best, isn't it? It's fucking magnificent.
In all seriousness, I mean, the players know just like simplicity for team talks. I don't know if any of you have watched the Man City documentary with Guardiola.
I haven't watched it yet, no.
I mean, it's brilliant. Some of the stuff's brilliant. You kind of keep your eyes off Guardiola, but I speak to wee Simon Donnelly the other day about it. And he was saying, it's amazing, like Guardiola's seen as this guy who's reinvented the wheel, you know, revolutionised football, and in a way, he has. But Simon was saying, he says, see his team talks, not
simple, mate.
The same team talks Simon was getting off Tommy Burns like 20 years ago, 25 years ago, he says, simple instructions, keep it simple, Definitely. Here's what we want you to do. That's what players want before a game. And it just shows you think Guardiola's going to come up with all these new ideas and fancy systems and all that. Simon was saying very simple, exact same style of team talk that he was getting 20, 25 years
ago. He's so passionate about when he speaks to the players, he's so passionate and you can, and his enthusiasm must rub off. But I agree, keep it short and simple and be original. Don't be doing Al Pacino speeches. And
what do you think Alan Stubbs would have made? Now, I don't know if he watched the game or not, but what do you think, he certainly would have heard about the result, what do you think Alan Stubbs would have made of all on Friday night?
Probably be in the Bahamas with his payoff, wouldn't he? Of course, you'll be raging, wouldn't he? I said it on here before, but the last two games at Alan Stubbs, I think the players are a bit out of order with the lack of effort. And then you see them sprinting about on Friday night. Of course, as a manager, you're thinking, why don't they do that for me? But Alan Stubbs will know himself what's went on between him and the players, and he's been in the game long enough. As a player, he spoke about us when he didn't let a manager and kind of said the players didn't work as hard for them. So he'll understand that. He's played the game. He's been both a player and a manager. So, of course, he'll be annoyed sitting watching it, but he'll probably understand why things never went right.
You've just said something there, a lack of effort. How do you know there was a lack of effort?
Well, I watched it. I watched the difference between the two teams.
How can you tell there's a lack of effort? Unless you are the player.
Well, because the ball was going over their heads and they were jogging back, whereas Friday the ball was going over their head and they were sprinting back.
Simple as that, mate.
You can tell from their body language how hard they're working. And I've seen a completely different side on Friday against Celtic.
If you're Alan Stubbs, that must really grate on you though, eh?
Oh, he'll be gutted and he'll be angry about it. And you can sympathise with that. But the one thing I would say, the kind of flip side to that is when I seen the St Mirren team on Friday night, it was one look at the team sheet and you're thinking the new manager's just went back to basics here. He's brought all the guys, he's brought any guys that were kind of out of the team for the promotion winning team, he'd brought them back. You could see he had them just in a kind of 4-4-1-1, very basic system, everybody knowing their jobs. And I agree with Si, they did work harder. There was a marked difference in them. I mean, I was at St Mirren's game the week, I think it was the week before, when they lost heavily at Hearts and they were an absolute shambles that day. I mean, I always think it's a, Si will know better, but I always think it's a bad sign for a manager when he's having to actually coach players through a game. So, I mean, where you're at Tynecastle, as you know, the press box right behind the dugout. Him, Brian Rice and Dan Jackson, I was watched, they were literally talking the three centre-halves through the game. They were trying to deal with the big boy, Ike Piazu, up front, just couldn't live with him. But Stubbs is actually on the touchline, telling centre-backs what, where their body shape should be, where they should be at a corner. That should all be done, you know, well before the game. I mean, so you kind of felt the writing was on the wall. But, as I say, the flip side is, I think the manager was sensible. Bringing guys like Ryan Flynn and that back in, who had they been playing, who's just a really good SPFL player, knows he's...
You know what you're getting.
Where does that... Si, you look up and down the Premiership. We now have five managers for Northern Ireland. Brendan Rodgers, Neil Lennon, Stevie Robinson, Tommy Wright, and now Oran Kearney. Is that a good thing? Or are we saying, right, wait a minute, what is going on at the moment with our own Scottish managers and coaches?
I think the Northern Irish boys have been a breath of fresh air, honestly. Do I think they've been great.
And funny, sorry to interrupt, but they actually... They rave now, don't they, about the Northern Ireland coaching course. I mean, they always do go on about Largs and SFA, but the Northern Ireland one seems to be a popular one as well.
I think everyone now, if they're down south, used to come up to here and they're now going to Northern Ireland. Yeah. I think you'll see more on the Scottish courses, it's all Scottish boys, whereas before it was a lot of boys from down south, but they're all going down to Northern Ireland now. I don't know if that's got anything to do with it, but they've all done great. Even Lomas was up as well, wasn't he? He'd done really well up here as well. Don't know if the Scottish game maybe suits them. But no, I really like the boy Kearney. I've heard good things about him as well. So I think he'll do well. But we need more Scottish managers back in the league, definitely.
I've not spoke to Oran Kearney yet, but it was interesting. I think some of the journalists interviewed Anton Ferdinand after the game on Friday night. And I mean, he's obviously been around the block, seen a lot of managers, a lot of good managers, Premier League. But he'd only been in a couple of days, and I know he's not going to have a go at the manager, but he was really praising Kearney, really impressed with him just after a couple of days training. So it looks as if he's got something about him. But I think what you're saying about Northern Irish, I think part of it's just cycles, isn't it? I mean, Premier League a few years ago, we felt as if we were on top of the world because we had about six Scottish guys in there between Moyes, McLeish, Sir Alex, Paul Lambert,
Dalglish.
I mean, there was...
I think there was seven at one point in the English Premiership.
And now we've got none. So I think Northern Ireland's just going through a good spell. I mean, that course will have something to do with it, because it's no coincidence that people are raving about the course and then all of a sudden they're producing these guys. But I'm sure Scotland will have its day again, coaching wise.
Okie dokie. Next topic. We are back into European football this midweek, Thursday night. Europa League group stages. Rangers away to Villarreal in Spain. Celtic at home to Rosenborg. We'll look at the Rangers game first, Scotty. It's obviously any opponent from La Liga is going to be tough.
Definitely. I mean, it's a strange thing to say. No, but I know any game involving the Old Firm, but you almost feel as if Rangers have got a bit of a free hit with this game. Away from home to a La Liga team. No, as we said before, people are surprised that Rangers are even in the group stages. So I'm not saying Steven Gerrard or the players will take it lightly, but it feels like they can go over there and actually try and express themselves and try and get a decent result. It's going to be tough, but Villarreal, I know they won on Sunday, that was their first win, just winning 1-0. I know they rested a few players right enough, but they've had a poor start to the season. I don't think this isn't the Villarreal team of 10 years ago that Rangers played under Alec McLeish.
They were proper outfit.
Riquelme.
Riquelme, what a player. Cazorla the first time as well. Yeah,
that's right.
It's a tight wee stadium. It's been there a couple of times. It's even tighter than like a Tynecastle. If the
Rangers
are up for it, it
can
be quite intimidating.
Aye, definitely. But I mean, Rangers are 10-1 on Thursday. Nothing yet.
But Gerrard's experience playing in Europe in that big games he's played there, that'll help. I think he'll relax the players.
McGregor will be brilliant for them in Europe in the four qualifying ties, isn't he? So if he's on it on Thursday night.
We were speaking about that, Scott. You were saying how much Wes Fodren have done well, but he's just a step up McGregor.
McGregor's
so commanding.
Different level. I mean, say Fodrium's a decent keeper, was a decent keeper for Rangers, but McGregor's taken on at a different level, and he's been there, seen it. Tonight, if Gerrard will know, see if they can produce the same kind of defensive performance that they've done against Osijek. And I know Villarreal's a step up in class, but if they can be that solid defensively and McGregor pulls off a few stops again, pulls off a few saves, then Gerrard will think they can go over there and get a point. I'm gonna stick my neck out and say Rangers can get a 0-0 or a 1-1.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think it'll be a Villarreal win, but not by a lot, maybe one or two goals.
Yeah, just a tight one.
Yeah, tight one, uh-huh.
Okay, Celtic Rosenborg. Celtic are at home on Thursday night. Obviously they've had the Champions League the past couple of years, are now into the Europa League. How do you think they're going to do, Si?
I think they beat Rosenborg. I think they've played them a couple of times, haven't they, over the last couple of years?
How
many is
it? Feels like about six.
I think they've done better than Rosenborg have done against Celtic, so it is a must win. I think your home games in this Europa League, you need to win them. There'll be a big crowd at the game. Disappointment for the weekend. I think they bounce back well for disappointing performances, Celtic, as they showed in the Rangers game. And I think they'll really be up for this game.
You would imagine, as Si said there, Scotty, if you're looking at one must-win game or one sort of a gimme, if you like, if you compare the other opposition from Leipzig and Red Bull, Salzburg, then Rosenborg on paper look like the easiest out of the three opponents.
They should be the weakest. I mean, we don't know too much about Red Bull Salzburg, but you know Leipzig will be decent, operating at the top end of the Bundesliga. And these Red Bull teams have obviously had money pumped into them.
Real energy, ain't they?
Aye.
Took Tim 4 days to come up with that one.
like playing down the wings. I mean, they've spent loads in transfer fees and that. The two Red Bull teams will think they'll be the two at the top of that group. So if Celtic have got any sort of ambition, which they will have, to get into the knockouts, then they've got to be beating Rosenborg at home. But it'll be interesting to see the reaction, obviously, for Friday night, because you just feel as if something's not quite there with Celtic this season. The only thing I would say, at the start of the season when I watched Celtic, yours will be the same. I think Rodgers had it in his mind that he wanted to play this 3-5-2.
Dembele and Edward.
And honestly, see a couple of the games at the start of the season, with they two together, it was scary. I mean, I think it was the Alaskert game on the qualifiers, the two of them were frightening. And speaking to Rodgers after it, you could tell he had a wee glint in his eye. He's thinking these two together could take us to the next level. Mm-hmm. But then Dembele gets injured, then he gets sold. You're looking at Edward now, he looks as if he's kind of missing his pal. I don't know if Rodgers trusts Lee Griffiths. I don't mean trust, but he doesn't seem to like him in a front two. Playing with somebody, he likes Griffiths playing up top on his own. I think that's kind of derailed him a wee bit, and they're obviously going to try and get it back on track.
I think it's worrying. They're still looking for their best 11, aren't they? I don't think he knows what his best 11 is, and that's always a worry for a team.
One that interests me on Thursday night is the size of the crowd. Which I think it's going to be interesting to see how the Celtic fans...
Do you think it'll be full house? React.
I'd be very surprised if it's full. I mean, I don't know. I might be wrong. There might already be 50,000 packages sold or whatever. But I'd have thought if they get more than 40 for the three games, that would be a good turnout. Purely just for the reasons of A, the fact that the team's no clicked yet. B, they've been used to Champions League football, albeit that they've taken a couple of pacings along the way, but still, like it is that music, the lineup sets the tone, it's special. So to come down, and then, and again, I'm not being critical at all, because, it's not easy to find money and constantly keep paying for it. But eventually, sometimes, the financial toll, takes, sorry, the financial impact takes its toll as well. So I think but the ones that are there, if it is the round about the 40,000 mark, they've got to get behind the team and
that could affect
respond.
If it's not full house, it's already a wee bit flat. If they go there and there's not full house, I think that could affect the players as well,
And that's the difference between Rangers situation. You contrast the two of them, in a Europa League group, but the kind of circumstances are totally different because Rangers haven't been there in so long. Their fans are so
buzzing, aren't they?
Buzzing, excited. They're snapping up tickets. Guaranteed, the three home games at Ibrox will be packed out because I've not seen anything like this for six, 7 years at least. So whereas Celtic, a couple of years ago, it was Barcelona and Man City it was coming. So it's hard for punters to get up for Rosenborg again. Third or fourth time they've played Rosenborg in the last couple of years. So I agree. I think if they get if Celtic can get 40,000, I think they'll be quite happy.
Right, prediction. You've taken Rangers for a draw. How are Celtic going to go on?
I think Celtic will win. I agree with Si. I think they'll it's not quite clicking for them, but they should still have too much for Rosenborg at home, knowing they need to win to get off to a flyer in the group. I think 2-0 Celtic.
Si.
I think a small victory. I think it'll be tight.
Tight again.
I think Celtic can maybe win by one or two goals.
Okie dokie. We're going down to William Hill. Get your coupons on, follow the lads, and waste your money. Right, Scotland under 21s. Scotty, you were over there. We're in the final. Yep. Section of the Open Goal podcast, keeping the ball on the ground in association with our friends at William Hill. Scotty McDermott, Chief Football Writer of the Sunday Mail, delighted to see joining Simon Ferry and myself, Mark Goody. Scotty, you're just back from Holland. You must have been delighted to see the Scotland under 21 team defeat Holland. Great result, great performance.
Brilliant, great result.
How did you celebrate?
A couple of quiet beers in Arnhem after the game.
Arnhem's a lovely place, yeah.
It is. It was great, wasn't it? It's busy. Yeah. Probably as we'd have hoped. But
it was great as well that the game for the boys wasn't a bridge too far for them, it was great.
It was Jesus.
That's getting right over size.
I know, but I knew it was a joke. I knew as soon as you started to say it, you're
took me 5 days to come up with that one. Old David Niven will be turning in his grave.
The boys impressive though, Scotty.
They have been, aye. I mean, listen, the under-21s as a whole, when you look at the section, personally, I think they should be looking at it with a bit of regret, because if they hadn't drawn away to Andorra and at home to Latvia, they'd be challenging England at the top of the table for an automatic spot into the Euros next year, which, for me, I know it's all about developing players and providing guys for the full Scotland team, but it'd be nice to qualify for something as well. And Dad probably got a trip out of it as well next summer, you know what I mean?
Yeah, the finals?
Italy.
Whereabouts? All over?
All over, I think, aye. So it'd be great. But the positive side of it is there's three or four young guys now in the 21s. I mean, you look at Scott Gemmell and the job he's trying to do. The full Scotland team have got Souter, McKenna, McBurney and Tierney, I think, still
eligible.
Yeah. Are all in the full squad when they could be playing 21s. And then when you look at the actual 21s, as well as the boys that are around that age, he's now got three or four younger ones. Billy Gilmer at 17, Hornby has just turned 19, and Mikey Johnson at Celtic is 19. They three are eligible for the next two or three campaigns at 21s level, so that's really encouraging.
Right, talk us through Billy Gilmer. I know you had a big sit-down with him as well. He comes across as a lovely kid, well-grounded. But on the part, talk us through Billy Gilmer and a kid from Everton, Fraser Hornby.
Gilmer just keeps the ball for fun. I mean, for a boy at 17, can be a box-to-box midfielder or a sitting midfielder and just keeps it 2 feet, so comfortable. Playing against Gilmer, he's playing Chelsea's under-23s team. You know the size of some of the boys down there. And he's dealing with that. He's playing with him pretty much every week, and now he's in the 21s. I was at a Toulon tournament in the summer as well, when he kind of made his debut at 16 for the 21s. Again, went in against France, nothing fazed him. And off the park, whether it's been going down to Chelsea or getting away from Glasgow, but really mature now for a young 17-year-old kid.
Put his mum and dad down with him, didn't he? Certainly.
He did for a wee while, but I don't think they're there. No. Now I think they just come down. They come down every month or something, or every few weeks. But I think they get media training at Chelsea and all that, so he's actually quite comfortable in interviews and stuff. You think some of the young boys we've interviewed over the years couldn't get a sentence out. I remember interviewing Barry Mackay. Peter Head, remember Rangers' first game, right? Barry Mackay scored and literally couldn't get a word out of his mouth. They brought him out, he was only 17. And when you did get a word, it was just aye or no. I mean, I remember, honestly, we planted a big piece with Barry Mackay that day, and literally there wasn't enough words to make a piece.
I remember, it's honestly, amazing. I love the ones that the boys, that you just, regardless of what you ask, I always remember when we, James Forrest, spoke through as a kid, and it was great. He was written up under Neil Lennon's team and doing well. He's a lovely kid, and he'd his injury problems, you felt for him. And you've just come and say, so James, definitely.
Definitely. That's what I say.
Definitely.
Every question, definitely.
Yeah. Definitely. Yeah, I love the kit. But the thing, you know, Scotty, I don't mind that. You make allowances for kids like that. And some of just not comfortable and they're shy. And you've got to accept that. It's the ones that you know that are intelligent and comfortable, but are deliberately awkward.
Is the boy Burke not meant to be like that? Is it Oliver Burke? Is he not meant to be quite awkward?
Aye.
You got slaughtered for that?
I did. He's not talking. Sure, he's not talking to me. I wrote a piece to Toulon. No, that tournament. Obviously, there was three or four media guys there, so you're there for a fortnight. He's the captain of the under 21s. We asked to speak to him three or four times. And we're basically told by the SFA that he didn't want to do it. And I thought that was out of order. For a guy who's moved for millions of pounds, he's played in the Bundesliga, he's played in the Premier League, he's the captain of Scotland under 21s. No, I might be wrong.
If you're going to accept the captaincy, you need to be prepared
and stuff like that. And also, I mean, you'll be able to comment on this. If I'm wee Alan Campbell at Motherwell or Greg Kilty at Kilmarnock, and I'm doing the media, every 3 or 4 days, you're looking at the captain, think, wait a minute, I'm doing this 3 or 4 times. That then creates a vibe of, oh, he's Billy Big Time, which can't be good for any dressing room. He wasn't happy. I just didn't think his attitude was great. And he's done it West Brom now, but I don't think he's playing much. I mean, he's got to. And by the way, as a player, I think Buck's brilliant. When I first seen him at 19...
2 years ago, we were labelled... He was in the main squad under Gordon Strachan, and the whole nation's labelling him the new Gareth Bale.
I remember.
Which was real, be fair, totally wrong, totally unfair on the boy. But
it
that's
was,
what we were doing.
But saying that, I remember the first time I ever seen him, we were in Limerick, and it was a Scotland under 19s game. Him and Kieran Tierney played the same day. And Tierney, you were like, this guy's brilliant. But see with Ollie Buck, I mean, you were literally like, this guy is Scotland's next superstar. He was unbelievable playing wide. He was bigger, stronger than anybody else in the park. He was going by guys like the one there. And I know you're right, it is harsh making comparisons, but he did remind you of Bale.
Yeah.
You're looking at him thinking, this guy could be our Gareth Bale. So he has got it. But he's obviously, it's not been great for him the last couple of years. He obviously took a gamble, or not a gamble, but he took a big step going to Germany. Didn't quite work out. I don't doubt he'll have learnt a lot and developed, but he's just not played enough minutes. I think if you look at his, you look at his stat, I think in the last 2 years he's maybe started like 5 games. Yeah. It's just isn't good enough.
He's frustrated. To round his off, Si, you've been... in major tournaments, Canada with Scotland.
I
was just pulling.
For 2 years.
Oh, did you?
Just the Euros I went to.
I was going to brush up my research. How good is it though for a youth team player, 18, 19, 20, to be involved in a major tournament? Is it a good learning?
Oh, it's brilliant. That Poland trip, you were there, Scotty, wasn't it? It was brilliant. But we had a great set of boys. We had a team we had. It was like Lee Wallace, myself, Snoddy, Big Fletch, Dorans.
Yeah. Mark Reynolds,
Scott Cuthbert. It was a really good set of boys, and it was probably one of the best times of my life. When we beat Czech Republic in the semi final, we had all the papers and that over. So we were getting the papers over, and it was two or three
expenses
pages
when they come back.
But the best thing about that trip was, and he's a Scottish legend, and he was great with us, Archie Gemmell. He was hard as anything on you, man. He didn't even actually call me by my name once that whole trip. He was just passed the ball to Snoddy. But he'd always be playing with his Henry Halls, constantly, man. Every time you'd be training, he'd be standing on the side of the pitch during a game, and we'd look over and he did the hands doing the shots. He was some man. I really liked him. He was a proper character, but it was a great set of boys we had.
And by the way, see that trip, you think back, I mean, people have been going on
for... What year was that, Scotty?
That was... 06. Aye, 06. So 06. 10 years, yeah, or 12 years ago now. The thing about it is, people have been saying for the last decade, we don't produce enough players, right? That team, nearly every player has went on to play professionals and a good career.
Get a good living out of it.
And yeah. Guys like Snodgrass, Fletcher, Dorans,
Lee Wallace,
Reynolds, Lee Wallace, all guys that have played at the top level, mm-hmm, Scottish wise, there's only one or two.
You mentioned Cuthbert as well. Cuthbert's had a good year down the south, hasn't he? Yeah, a few moves.
It was probably the Celtic and Rangers boys that never kicked on. You know, it was Brian Gilmore,
Brazel,
Charlie Grant, Mikey McGlinchey, Ryan Conroy. We never kicked on because after that tournament, Fletcher, Snodgrass, they all went on and played for the first teams, whereas we went back to playing reserves, which probably kind of killed us a bit. You know,
McGlinchey's done all right for us. He's played at a World Cup,
a World Cup and stuff like that. So no, other boys have done well.
Right, that's us. We have been going for 56, 57 minutes. It's been brilliant. It's been great fun. I've got right through the car, talking about many topics. It's been a pleasure to have the Sunday Mail chief football writer, Scotty McDermott, join us. Scotty, have you enjoyed it?
Thank you. Pleasure. I loved it.
Great. Welcome back, mate. That was good.
What did you say there? What?
Said he's welcome back. That was good.
I was just about to say he said two appearances in one day, his first and his last. But no, I think we might get him back on one of these days. If we Huey Keevan's calls all fill again, then we'll get wee Scotty in. No, thanks for joining, Scotty. It's a pleasure. I appreciate your insight into particularly the way that Stephen Gerrard and Brendan Rodgers operate behind closed doors with the media. And you, Si, another good one. Did you enjoy it?
Loved it, mate. I really, really enjoyed it. Like listening to Scotty.
Brilliant.
I've had enough now.
Time to go. Keep up with you. I know you'll join us next week. Have good fun this weekend. See you soon. Bye.